regards me balefully. My, what a wonderful chat we're having. I'm so glad for this chance to get to know you better. Ha ha. Back to the cookie thing. What did that comment mean? It means your skepticism won't interfere with a medium's ability to connect with a spirit. But I'm afraid it would cause you to interpret anything you might experience as a byproduct of indigestion or some such. You'd rationalise it away. I think about that for a moment. That does sound like me. Just as I thought. So, perhaps you should take a while to mull it over. She smiles. See if any more pranks from your ghost might open up your mind. Pranks? I don't like the sound of that. Well, from what you've told me so far, it seems your spirit has been acting relatively well-mannered. She trails off and stares at me, unblinking. I say, that pause has got to be the creepiest thing I've ever heard. I'm simply suggesting that ghosts like people have moods. I'd be willing to bet you haven't seen the worst of it yet. I press my cold fingertips to my closed eyelids and heave a sigh. Fine. Let's assume for argument's sake that there is a ghost or ghosts living in this house. What other things should I be on the lookout for? Fiona cheerfully ticks off a list. Orbs of light, whispering voices, strange dreams, shadowy forms glimpsed in your peripheral vision or unnatural shadows where there shouldn't be any. Misplaced items. The radio or television changing stations on their own, feeling a touch. A touch? I interrupt, horrified. Oh, a ghost could touch me? Gross. She purses her lips, gazing at me as if I've gravely disappointed her. I said, feeling a touch. It's a sensation. If you recall, dear, ghosts don't have bodies, so naturally it would follow that they don't have hands. Please pay attention. I swear I'm going to give this woman such a smack. But I get distracted from that thought when she says, another thing that could happen is that you begin to be physically influenced by the presence of the spirit. So, you might begin to experience headaches or lapses in memory. Things like that. Headaches? Lapses in memory? I stare at Fiona with my mouth hanging open. Perplexed by my expression, she says, what? When I find my voice again, I say weakly, I think I just had a revelation. Eyes bright, she leans eagerly over the table. And? There was this little boy. She blinks in confusion. Boy? What boy? I saw him through my office window playing out on the back lawn, but when I went outside to find him, he was gone. And the security feed was all static when I reviewed it, as if it had been erased, or hadn't recorded at all. My throat arid as a desert, I swallow. Because he wasn't really there. Fiona is wearing such an odd expression it makes me nervous. She asks, what did this little boy look like? Blonde. Maybe 5 years old. He was wearing a red rain slicker and little yellow boots. And he seemed happy, running around and laughing. I shake my head in disbelief. I thought he got lost and wandered into my backyard. Fiona looks down at the table. She spreads her hands flat over the top. She appears to be calculating something. What's wrong? After a beat, she puts on a bright smile.
Well, it's only that I've never heard of a happy ghost. Typically, spirits who linger on this plane are here because of a tragedy they haven't gotten over. They're usually sad or angry.
Oh, my laugh borders on hysterical.
Oh, well, the other guy definitely fits the angry slot.
What other guy?
I saw this man spying on me from behind a tree in the backyard. He looked really pissed off, bared his teeth at me and everything, but he didn't leave any footprints in the mud. And now I'm thinking the only people who don't leave footprints in mud are people who don't have bodies. I cannot fucking believe I just said that. Blinking like an owl, Fiona repeats slowly,
bared his teeth.
Yeah, he freaked me out, though I couldn't really see much of his face, just that weird grimace. He was tall and gaunt and had a trench coat and a hat on pulled low over his eyes. I gasp, sitting up straighter in my chair.
Oh, God. Do you think he might have hurt the little boy? Like, maybe that's why they're here, because they're linked somehow?
A strange expression crosses Fiona's face. After a moment, she nods.
Perhaps. Maybe they lived in this house long ago. Maybe they were father and son, or maybe they're from two completely different time periods.
and something tragic happened to each one of them. The possibilities are endless. Sometimes ghosts are drawn to one another and wind up haunting the same area even though they didn't know each other in life. We stare at each other. Finally, I say, not that I believe in ghosts. Of course not. Right, so when can your sister come and do the séance?
I'll ask her and find out.
Great. We stare at each other again. Then she says urgently,
the most important thing, Kayla, is for you to remember what I said about not telling a ghost it's dead. If you see these spirits again before we can arrange a séance and hopefully assist them to the other side, just allow them to do whatever they're doing undisturbed. Don't try to interact, and especially don't do anything to anger them.
Feeling chilled all over again, I ask, why is that so important?
Because a spirit lives in a world of its own making. It only sees what it wants to see. It's blind to reality. Wandering spirits must be ready to accept that they no longer inhabit the world of the living. They must be gently coaxed to that understanding and accept it through their own free will, or they might retreat further into their fantasy world, dooming themselves to be locked in the darkness for eternity, beyond all hope of reaching the other side and thus achieving peace. She pauses, then adds quietly, in effect, they'll be damned. I don't want to be the cause of any random spirit being damned, so even though I don't believe any of this and am probably dreaming this entire conversation, I say solemnly, I promise I won't tell them they're dead. Good.
She gives me a reassuring smile and rises from the table, leaving me alone in the kitchen with my figurative and literal ghosts. Then I walk into my office, take the letter I wrote to Dante out of the drawer, and grab an umbrella from the stand next to the front door. I go outside in the rain, headed to the mailbox. If I'm being haunted by the spirits of a happy little boy and a hostile dude in a trench coat, I might as well commit to having a pen pal in prison. At least he's alive. It's not until I'm raising the red metal flag on the mailbox that something Fiona said comes back to me like a slap across the face.
When a person dies tragically or violently, the spirit often can't move on.
My heart pounding, I whisper, Michael. As if in response, a crackling burst of lightning rips jagged claws of brilliant white through the dark and stormy sky.
23. Dear Kayla, I had this cat when I was a kid. Orange tabby, skinny thing, hated everybody, except me. That cat loved me. I loved him too, though I didn't know it until he got hit by a car. Before that, I thought OJ was a menace. That was his name, OJ, after orange juice. Not very creative, I know, but I was 8. Once the cat died, and he wasn't around anymore, I realized how much I loved him. That stupid cat had been my best friend, but I only realized it in hindsight. Funny thing, isn't it? Hindsight? It's memory, but with new understanding tacked on, so that the past means something different than it did before. And the only way to find that meaning is to look for it. Look to the past. Dig up those graves. Examine the bones you find there. I've been doing my fair share of that lately. I've got so much time on my hands in this place. Thinking about the past has become the main way I spend my days. You asked what I did to land myself here. The simple answer is that I loved someone too much. You see, I learned a lesson from OJ's death. I learned that love means nothing unless it's acted upon. Love isn't real without intent. It's a verb. It isn't passive. But most of all, love means sacrifice. Whatever love asks of you must be given, no matter the price. And I'd gladly give what love asked of me 1,000 times over, even if I had to do it every day until the end of eternity. I'd slice open my own veins with a razor blade and happily bleed myself dry. Dante.
24. It's Saturday. The rain has fallen steadily day and night this week, tapering to drizzle only to gather strength and pound the saturated ground once again.
I sit in my office with Dante's letter in my hands as I gaze out the window into the dreary afternoon. The Sound is a murky iron gray, its waters uneasy, whipped to white peaks by gusty winds. The house exhales an occasional wistful sigh, but otherwise is silent. It's been that way since my talk with Fiona last Monday. Eerily silent, as if it's holding its breath. It's not the only one. I've barely slept all week. I walk around on eggshells, my nerves screaming at every gust of wind or tree branch scraping a window pane. But nothing out of the ordinary has happened. There have been no more sightings of the little boy or the man in the trench coat. No unexplained smells or flickering lights. Out at the end of the dock, the Eurydice bobs restlessly in the choppy water. Drawn by some irresistible force, my gaze returns to it again and again. I know it's only my frazzled nerves that make it seem like the boat watches me back. I work through the remainder of the day with Dante's letter simmering on the back burner of my mind until a text comes through on my phone.
You win, Tommy.
It's Aiden. We haven't spoken in 6 days. I'm not feeling particularly cooperative, so I send him a text back instead of calling. What did I win? I can almost feel his irritation that I disobeyed his order to call him in the three bouncing dots as he types his reply.
You were supposed to contact me first.
Frowning, I type back. I didn't realize it was a competition. The phone rings. As soon as I pick up and say, hello? Aiden's displeased voice is in my ear.
I was giving you space. Didn't think it would turn into distance.
There's no distance. It's just been a weird week. After a pause, he asks,
you okay?
There's honestly no accurate way to answer that. By the way, I miss you. His voice softens.
Yeah?
You know I do.
I hoped. Kept thinking I'd hear a knock on my door and open up to find a soaking wet barefoot stunner in a see-through shirt on my doorstep.
That makes me smile. Isn't that what every man wants?
Maybe, but I'm the one who got it.
His voice lowers an octave.
Get your sweet ass over here, bunny. I need you naked in my bed. You've made me wait long enough.
You made yourself wait, Fight Club. You could have picked up the phone days ago.
Told you I was giving you space.
Not that I wanted it.
I'm interested in giving you what you need, Kayla, which might not coincide with what you want.
And I'm interested in my body's reaction to those words, which is a confusing mix of desire and annoyance. I'd like to tear off all my clothes and kneel at his feet, but at the same time, I'd like to hang up on him. I know I'd only call him right back, though, so I'll skip it. And exactly what is it you think I need, Aiden?
To forget everything, so you can remember who you are again.
That takes my breath away. Not only because of the darkly sensual way it was spoken, but also because he's right. My heart beating faster, I moisten my lips and whisper, yes.
I know. Now get over here. You have 10 minutes. Any later than that and you'll be punished.
He hangs up. I sit with the phone clenched in my hand and my stomach turning somersaults, wondering if I should wait 30 minutes before I leave just so I can see what my punishment would be. I decide I'm not quite that brave yet. I'm out the door in under a minute, and once again, Aiden opens the door to his apartment before I even have a chance to knock. Wearing only a pair of faded blue jeans, he's barefoot, bare-chested, and beautiful. I laugh as he drags me into his arms and kicks the door shut behind us. Did you stand there and listen for my footsteps on the stairs?
Yep, it's all I can do not to run out of the parking lot like a fucking lunatic the minute your car pulls up.
When I grin at him, he warns,
don't gloat.
I would never. My God, you're even more handsome than I remember. He plants a big kiss on my mouth and says gruffly,
sweet little rabbit. How do you want to get fucked?
Thrilled, I whisper, any way you want. With one arm wrapped tightly around my back, he takes my jaw in his hand and holds my face firmly like that as he growls,
any way I want. What?
I melt like a popsicle dropped onto hot asphalt on a blistering summer day. All other thoughts but of him fly out of my head. As if it's the most natural thing in the world, a hidden default mode I was unaware I was born to operate on, without a single second of resistance, I simply surrender. I say breathlessly.
Any way you want, master.
He kisses me as if he's been starving for my mouth his entire life. I cling to him, feeling his heart beating wildly against my breast, feeling as if I've been sucking helium and might at any moment rise up to the ceiling and bob there, laughing and buoyant. He always makes me feel so alive, untethered to anything solid and utterly careless. He makes me feel free. And holy hell, is it amazing. Breaking the kiss, he yanks my t-shirt over my head and tosses it aside. My jeans get torn off next. He growls in disapproval when he sees me wearing panties and pulls them down my legs impatiently. When I'm standing in front of him fully nude, he rips open the fly of his jeans and orders gruffly,
"On your knees."
I sink to my knees on the hardwood floor like a grateful supplicant and take his jutting erection in my hands.
"Suck, bunny."
The moment my lips slide over the engorged head of his cock, he moans and tilts his head back, closing his eyes. He sinks his fingers into my hair and raggedly whispers my name.
"So fucking sweet. Everything about you. Love your sweet mouth, my good girl."
His gruff praise is candy to my ears. It's heroin injected into my veins. It's hot euphoria running along every nerve ending, setting me on fire. I suck so eagerly on his dick, he has to warn me to slow down.
"Pace yourself, baby. You'll get my cum, but not yet."
He opens his eyes and gazes down at me, running his thumb over my top lip as I bob my head, taking him deep in my mouth and going shallower again.
"Look at you,"
he says hotly.
"On your knees for me. My hard cock in your mouth. Your eyes begging for me to fuck you. Do you have any idea how beautiful you are? How perfect?"
Feeling crazed, I close my eyes and swallow him as deep as I can, gagging a little as I shove his girth down my throat.
"So fucking perfect,"
he whispers.
"Kayla, my beautiful, obedient girl."
I moan around his cock, sucking frantically as I stroke his shaft with both hands. My pussy throbs, my nipples ache. I need him to fuck me so badly, I moan again, trembling with need. He knows, of course he knows. His laugh is soft and dark.
"You need to spread your legs for me and take that cock deep, don't you, baby? You need your master to fuck you."
The vein on the underside of his penis throbs against my tongue. His fingers tighten in my hair. Right now, he could order me to throw myself out the window, and I probably would.
"Yes, you do. Greedy girl. Let me watch you finger fuck that gorgeous pussy while you take my cock down your throat. But don't you dare come without my permission."
I shove one hand between my legs and frantically start rubbing my clit. I'm soaked already. Desperate, breathing hard through my nose and shaking all over. He cradles my face in both hands and flexes his hips, guiding his cock in and out of my mouth, controlling the speed and depth, controlling every part of me. He whispers,
"Oh, fuck yes, baby. Fuck yes."
I gaze up at him. Our eyes lock. His lips are parted and his eyes burn. They burn straight through me, flaying me open until I'm totally exposed, raw, and vulnerable. Mewling around his cock, I shove a finger inside the aching space between my legs.
"Don't come,"
he orders in a soft, stroking voice as he imprisons me in his mesmerizing gaze.
"Be a good girl and hold out for me."
I'm going to go out of my mind. I beg him silently with my eyes. He licks his lips, watching me. A contraction deep in my core makes me suck in a sharp breath through my nose. Aiden fists a hand in my hair and pulls my head back. His dick pops out of my mouth. Breathing hard, he bends down until he's staring into my wide eyes from only a few inches away. Holding my jaw firmly, he says in a guttural voice,
"Did you disobey your master?"
I'm panting so hard I can barely answer. "No, no, I promise." He doesn't believe me. With a growl, he pushes me onto my back on the bare wood floor and kneels over me, flattening one hand over my sternum and pressing down so I'm pinned. The other hand he slides between my legs. He hisses when he finds me soaking wet and ready for him. He thrusts a finger inside me, shushing me when I groan.
Arms over your head. Spread your legs. One more sound and you'll be punished.
Quaking, I lift my arms over my head and rest my clasped hands against the floor. Then I spread my thighs and bite my bottom lip, praying I'll be strong enough to remain silent as I've been instructed. He's still for a moment, watching my face with avid eyes, that finger sunk deep inside me, waiting for the rhythmic clench of orgasm. I'm almost there. Almost. And if he moves his finger at all, I'll tip over the edge and start fucking his hand desperately as my climax rips through me.
Sweet little bunny,
he whispers, elated.
You're trying so hard to be good, aren't you?
I nod frantically. He slides the hand pressed against my sternum over to one breast and fondles it for a moment before he pinches the hard nipple. Pleasure ripples through my body in waves that head straight down between my legs. Though I'm unable to control the way my thighs quiver and my back arches from the floor, I remain silent, breathing shallowly through my nose. Between his legs, his erection juts out from the open fly of his jeans. It's big and glistens with my saliva, the crown flushed red. The shaft is thick, taut, and mapped with veins. I want it. I need it. I need him to impale me on it and fuck me senseless as he growls filthy things into my ear and perfumes my skin with his scent as he grinds against my body.
Eyes on me, Kayla.
I meet his dark gaze and whisper, "Yes, sir." Though I was supposed to be quiet, I can tell that he's pleased with me. For my reward, he rolls me onto my belly and spanks my ass smartly, going back and forth between each cheek until I'm almost crying with need. He stops just short of spanking me into an orgasm. When I whimper, my cheek pressed against the floor and my eyes squeezed shut, he says through gritted teeth,
"You're the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. You better run away now, little rabbits, or I'll rip you to fucking pieces."
Knowing relief isn't too far away now, I sob as I scramble to my hands and knees and leap to my feet. Snarling like an animal, he slaps my ass. I yelp and jump, then tear out of the kitchen with my heart in my throat. I barely get his bedroom door slammed and the lock on the handle turned before he's pounding on it, demanding I let him in. When I refuse, he kicks the door open. It smashes against the wall. A few books fall off the bookshelf and tumble to the floor. A chunk of plaster drops from the ceiling. Aiden stands in the open doorway, breathing hard, nostrils flared, eyes as fierce as a hungry predator's as he gazes at me, backed up, trembling against the far wall. He growls,
"On your hands and knees on the mattress."
I shout defiantly, "No, if you want me, you have to catch me." His grin is wide and lethal. I faint left. He lunges. I dart the other direction, too fast for him to spin around and grab me. With a laugh of victory, I run from the bedroom and down the hall. He catches me in the living room. Grabbing me by the scruff of my neck, he pulls me back against his body and wraps an iron arm around my ribs. As I struggle to get free, he laughs, nuzzling his nose into my hair and inhaling deeply.
"You think you're strong enough to get away from me, bunny?"
"Yes," I twist and squirm helplessly.
"I don't think so."
He bites my shoulder, reaching around to grab me between my legs. His voice drops.
"What I think is that you're about to get fucked very, very hard."
I might faint. My pulse is wild. I'm panting in desperation, and I feel strangely weightless, as if I'm disembodied, floating outside of myself. Aiden drops to the sofa, bringing me down with him, then flips us over and pins me under his weight so my face is smashed in the cushions. I struggle to get free, but he grabs my wrists and pins them overhead. Hot and stiff, his erection pokes against my stinging ass. He takes a moment to enjoy my helpless struggles and cries and merely lies on top of me, his bare chest burning my back as he sniffs my hair, shoulders, and neck and grunts in pleasure. "Let me go," he chuckles.
"Say the safe word and I will."
The smug bastard. He knows I won't say the fucking safe word. I scream in frustration. It makes him laugh.
"Bad bunny,"
he whispers, his tone jubilant. "No."
"Oh, yes, you are. And you know what bad bunnies get, don't you?"
It's not a question. but it still requires an answer.
Set free.
He puts his mouth next to my ear and says hotly,
No, baby. They get fucked in the ass by their masters until they promise to be good.
I almost orgasm then. My pussy clenches with need. I groan in desperation, wriggling my butt against him. Gripping my wrists with one hand, Aiden slides the other between my legs. He rubs my pussy lips, spreading the wetness up between my ass cheeks. When his fingertips glide over my anus, I squeal. He slides his finger in up to the knuckle. I cry out, stiffening.
This is mine,
he says darkly.
I'm gonna claim it. If you don't want that, say the safe word right fucking now.
Trapped beneath him, I'm helpless, but not completely. I know all it would take is one word to turn this whole thing around. If I said the safe word, I know he'd stop instantly and release me. I know it without a doubt. And that's what keeps me on the right side of the fine line between pleasure and fear. I turn my face to the cushion and sob his name. He exhales a moan filled with desire and dark satisfaction.
Yes, baby. Say my name when I fuck you. Scream it when you come for me.
He spits on his fingers, rubs his saliva all over the sensitive knot between my ass cheeks, then holds me down as he guides the head of his hard cock inside me. I cry out, shuddering.
Take your master's dick,
he commands, and shoves it all the way in. It burns and leaves me breathless, my eyes watering and my ass muscles clenched. Aiden doesn't move his hips again. He simply lies on top of me, breathing heavily against my hair, both hands now wrapped around my wrists. His total dominance over my body makes something fragile inside my chest snap like a twig. A tear slides over the bridge of my nose. Trembling, full of him and chaotic emotion, I whisper brokenly, Master. He groans. In a faint, breathless voice, he says,
Sweet girl. My good girl. Beg for me.
I close my eyes and obey.
Please, Master. Please fuck me. Fuck me hard.
He withdraws and pumps back into my ass with a sharp snap of his hips. My sob is broken and grateful. He does it again, thrusting harder, then again with a grunt when I moan. It stings like a son of a bitch, but my clit is throbbing and my hard nipples rub with delicious friction against the coarse fabric of the sofa with every thrust, so I beg him to keep going, canting my hips up and back like the greedy little slut he's made me. Releasing my wrists, he grabs my hip in one hand and pushes against the sofa with the other. He rears back to his knees, keeping his cock inside my ass and bringing me with him. He steadies me, embraces one foot against the floor, then grips my hips in both hands as he kneels behind me. Then he fucks me hard and deep, driving into my tender ass with relentless force as I cry out deliriously, and his heavy balls slap against my pussy.
Master, Master, please may I come?
He pants.
Yes, baby. Give it to me.
He reaches around my legs and firmly tugs on my swollen clit. It sets off an instantaneous chain reaction. I gasp and buck. My pussy clenches rhythmically. My mind blinks offline as my body takes over, responding to his touch on a level beyond conscious control.
Aiden! Oh, God! Aiden! I'm coming! I'm coming!
The sound that breaks from his throat is guttural and thoroughly pleased. Then he shoves his thick finger inside my throbbing pussy, and his sounds are drowned out by my high, wavering scream of pleasure. He shudders, lets out a primal roar, and comes inside me. I break down into tears, sobbing helplessly in sweet surrender as this beautiful beast of a man drags me down with him into the dark. 25. Afterward, I'm an emotional mess. I lie face down on the sofa with my ass in the air, sobbing into the cushions, trembling all over, sweaty and spent. Aiden is bent over me, breathing raggedly. His hot forehead rests between my shoulder blades.
Oh, baby,
he whispers.
Don't cry. It's okay, sweetheart. It's okay.
He presses the gentlest of kisses to my spine and slowly withdraws from my body. Then he drags the Afghan off the back of the sofa and wraps me in it. He sits, pulls me onto his lap, and surrounds me with his strong arms.
So fucking beautiful.
He murmurs, kissing my forehead and wet cheeks.
You're my good, beautiful girl.
I bury my face in the crook of his neck and cry harder. He tightens his arms around me and gently rocks me, cooing soft words. He strokes my hair and caresses me, calming me and cradling me like a baby. We sit like that until my tears have stopped and I'm sniffling, trying to stifle the occasional hiccup. He inhales deeply, exhales, and glides his fingertips lightly along the side of my face. Resting his cheek on the top of my head, he says softly,
"Tell me what you need from me."
I've never had a man ask me that before. Well, technically it was an order, not a question, but I'm not splitting hairs. Dazed, sore, and thoroughly satisfied, I sit and think seriously about it for a while before deciding I need more specifics. Do you mean now or in general?
Both. I want to know what makes you happy. What will make you feel all the time like I do right now?
I peek up at him. How do you feel right now? He gazes down at me, his eyes endless and dark. Tracing my lower lip with his fingertip, he says,
"Reborn? Forgiven? Or maybe, I don't know."
He struggles silently for a moment.
"Freed."
I ask shyly, "I make you feel free?"
"Like I've been living in a dark cave my whole fucking life, and I just stumbled out into the sunlight."
Tears stuck in my throat. I close my eyes and snuggle closer to him. With a hitch in my voice, I whisper, "I've never met anyone like you." His chuckle is soft and dark.
"I'll take that as a compliment."
"It is. I always feel safe around you. You bring out a side of me I didn't even know existed before. I feel like I could tell you anything, my darkest secret, the worst thing I've done that I'm most ashamed of, and it would be okay." I hesitate. "Except..." He stills.
"What?"
"When you walk away in the middle of a conversation, I get really frustrated." After a moment, he nods.
"Okay. I won't do that again."
Encouraged, I keep talking. "And when you shut down and don't tell me what you're thinking, I get confused. You're very intense in some ways, very communicative and open and right in my face, but other times you seem like you're hiding from me." I pause to think again. Then I venture. "Maybe you're worried how I'll react if I get to know the real you." He kisses me, brushing his lips against mine with a tenderness that makes my chest ache. Then he murmurs,
"What I'm worried about is giving my heart away to a woman who's still wearing a wedding ring."
The sadness in his voice makes my heart flip-flop. I whisper, "Oh, Aiden, I'm sorry."
"You don't have to apologize or explain yourself. I don't ever want you to feel obligated to explain yourself to me. I know you're just taking this one day at a time."
By this, he means us. This thing we're doing together, whatever it is. And he's right, in a way. I am taking it one day at a time. There's no other way to take it. He crashed into my life like a meteor falling to Earth right when I was the most broken I'd ever been. Only I don't feel broken when I'm with him. Too overwhelmed to continue with the conversation in my emotionally raw state, I say, "Okay, you want to know what I need to be happy right now?"
"Yes."
I smile up at him and tug on his beard. "A glass of wine and a hot bath." His lids lower. He smolders at me in silence for a moment.
"I can do that for you."
"Thank you." He raises his brows.
"Aren't you forgetting something?"
I spread my hand over his jaw and smile wider. "Thank you, sir." He stares deep into my eyes for a long moment. Then he says quietly,
"Kayla, be careful with me."
Surprised by that, I ask, "What do you mean?"
"I know you think I'm strong, but the problem with strong things is that they're brittle. They can't bend under stress. They just break."
Before I can respond, he picks me up and carries me into the bathroom. I soak in bliss for an hour, up to my neck in bubbles, sipping a glass of Cabernet. Aiden comes in and out of the bathroom, bringing me little bites of cheese and slices of apple, feeding them to me from his fingers, and watching me chew as if it's the most fascinating thing he's ever seen. The way he looks at me is addictive. Because I like it so much, it's also a little scary. I don't think I'm ready for this. It seems as if he isn't either. We're magnets who don't want to be magnets, pulled together by invisible elements beyond our control. I don't have the words or the will to tell him it would be wiser if we slowed down this runaway train before it veers off the tracks and kills all the passengers. Besides, aren't we past that point anyway? The obvious answer is yes, we are. We skipped the dinner dates and polite conversation and jumped straight to kinky fuckery. Not that I'm complaining. It's simpler this way. And simple things are beautiful. And with my recent state of mind, small talk would be a stretch. Wearing only his jeans, Aiden sits on the toilet with his elbows propped on his knees.
Going out to the house tomorrow.
Is that an invitation, or are you just informing me of your future whereabouts? A faint smile curves his lips.
It's an invitation, smartass. Which you already knew. What's the answer?
The answer is yes, which you already knew.
Don't want to assume anything.
He glances at my ring finger, then looks away.
Don't know your schedule.
Tell him. Just tell him about Michael. Tell him what happened. He deserves to know. Does he? There's no commitment here, and I'm not the only one holding things back. I barely know anything about him. Hell, I don't even know how old he is. I go back and forth mentally for a few seconds, arguing with myself until he startles me by asking,
How old are you?
I laugh uneasily. Oh, God, that's strange.
What is?
I was just thinking, I don't know how old you are when you ask me that.
I'm 35.
I'm 30. We gaze at each other. He murmurs,
What else were you just thinking?
Buying myself time. I slowly set the wine glass on the edge of the tub. I sit up and look down at the bubbles, shimmering in iridescent clumps, clinging to my knees and breasts. I was thinking about my husband. Aiden remains silent. I can't even hear him breathing. I feel him waiting, though. Feel the new tension in his body as clearly as if his muscles were my own. Actually, that's not exactly it. I was thinking I wanted to tell you something about him. I swallow. My pulse starts to race. I don't know why this should be so difficult. I told Eddie the handyman my husband was dead, and he'd never railed me up the ass and called me his bunny. When I draw a shaky breath and squeeze my eyes closed for a moment to gather my courage, Aiden orders softly.
Eyes on me.
I look at him. He stares back at me with unwavering intensity, his eyes fierce.
Is he hurting you? That's all I want to know.
There's something wild in his gaze. A dangerous glint that makes me shiver. I draw my knees closer to my chest, wrapping my arms around my shins. If I said yes, what would you do? His answer is hard and instant.
Kill him.
My pulse flying and my eyes wide, I whisper, Aiden. He stares at me, waiting. Finally, I say, Is that what you did to your father? He replies without flinching or looking away.
Yes.
I exhale, close my eyes, and drop my head to my knees. His voice lower, he says,
You don't have to be afraid of me.
I'm not. Sounding unconvinced, he adds,
I'm not a danger to you. I'd never hurt you.
I know.
But you're hiding.
I guess I am. I'm just processing. Give me a minute, please. We sit in silence, broken only by the occasional sound of water dripping from the faucet. Then he kneels next to the tub and takes my face in his hands. He says urgently,
I'm older now, smarter. Had a lot of time to think about what I did. And if it comes to it again, I'll be better prepared.
My heart hammers against my sternum. I'm going to pretend you didn't just tell me you know how to get away with murder.
Pretend whatever you want. The reality is, if I find out a man put his hands on you in anger, he won't ever be able to do it again.
He kisses me gently, pressing his mouth to mine in an unspoken promise. I wrap my hands around his wrists and kiss him back, opening my lips for his tongue when he slides it inside. He probes deeper, angling my head to take what he needs as I shiver in the cooling water. Then he breaks the kiss and presses his forehead to mine.
Kayla, you answer me now and tell me the truth. Is he hurting you?
Tears welling in my eyes, I say, no. He pulls away and gazes at me, frowning.
Then why are you gonna cry?
Because I just realized I'm crazy. I'm literally certifiably insane.
Why would you say that?
A lone tear crests my lower eyelid and meanders down my cheek. My chest aching, I whisper. If I were sane, I wouldn't think that you threatening to kill someone for me was so beautiful. He stares at me for a long moment, his eyes burning. Then he stands, pulls me to my feet, and lifts me out of the water. He carries me, dripping wet, into the bedroom and lays me on the mattress. Without a word, he kneels between my legs, spreads my thighs open, and leans down to put his mouth on my exposed sex. When I moan and arch, he reaches up with both hands and encircles my wet breasts, squeezing them gently before thumbing over my nipples. I guess this is his way of telling me we can be crazy together. I sink my hands into his hair and sigh. His beard scratches my thighs. His delicious hot tongue delves deep inside me. The rough pads of his fingers glide back and forth over my rigid nipples, and soon I'm panting and moaning loudly, rocking my hips in time with the motion of his tongue. When he pinches my nipples hard, I come in his mouth, shuddering and crying out his name. He sucks my clit until I'm limp, then rises and pulls his jeans off. Then he lowers himself on top of my body and enters me. With his hands in my hair and his face turned to my neck, he says gruffly,
"If you decide this isn't what you want, promise me you'll end it before I fall in love with you."
"I promise," I whisper, fighting tears all over again.
"Good."
His voice drops.
"But so you know, you don't have much time."
"Aiden."
"Hush now."
He makes love to me with a careful tenderness he hasn't shown before, handling me as if I'm made of porcelain. When he climaxes, it's with a soft groan of desperation, as if he knows this thing we're doing is big and dangerous, capable of annihilating us both. I understand exactly how he feels. 26. Sunday morning dawns brilliant blue. The rain clouds have been chased away by the sun, and for the first time in weeks, it's gorgeous out. Aiden makes us breakfast. Scrambled eggs, of course, but also toast and bacon. Then we shower together. He hums as he washes my body, grins as he towels me dry afterward, whistles as we dress. Aiden in a good mood is intoxicating. With his face lit up, he's even more handsome than usual. Because the weather's nice, he suggests we make the trip to the house on his bike. When I agree and tell him I used to ride motocross when I was a kid, he stares at me in disbelief, looking me up and down.
"You.
Don't judge a book by its cover, lover boy. I know I look like the girl next door, but inside, I'm more like the girl with the dragon tattoo." I pause to think. Except without the tattoos, the genius IQ, the computer skills, or the eidetic memory. Then I brighten. "I am antisocial, though." Aiden chuckles.
"What you are is adorable."
"Right?" I agree, pretending that didn't just make me light up like the sun.
"Yes. Let's see if I have a jacket you can wear, bunny."
"I won't fit into one of your ginormous jackets." He rummages around in his closet, emerging with a black leather bomber so large, I might as well use it as a tent and go camping in it. Smiling at my expression, he orders,
"Put it on."
I climb into it. Then I stand there looking like somebody's idea of a hilarious joke. "If I wear this, the wind will catch me and I'll sail behind you like a balloon."
"Don't worry. My giant helmet will weigh you down."
He isn't kidding. He hands me a helmet fit for the supervillain Megamind. When I laugh, he says,
"Can't help it. My brain is huge."
He grins.
"Among other things."
I say sweetly, "You're thinking of your ego." He swaggers past, swatting me on the ass as he goes.
"Come on, little rabbit. If you're good, I'll feed you a carrot later on."
He turns and winks. I'd like to make a smart remark, but damn, I also really want that carrot. So I bite my tongue and follow him out the door. There's a small garage behind the bar where he keeps his Harley, a shiny macho thing custom-made to scare old ladies and little dogs and deafen everyone else. It starts with a rumble and idles at an eardrum-piercing volume, vibrating the earth under my feet. Aiden jerks his chin,
indicating I should climb on behind him. When I do, and I've got that lovely vibration going between my thighs, I decide I should look into purchasing one for myself. I might never leave the house. Wrapping my arms around his waist, I hold on tight as we take off with a roar. It's only a 10-minute ride to the other side of the island, but it's so beautiful, I'm wishing it were longer. The air smells crisp and fresh. The hills are awash in golden light, and everywhere I look, I see a million shades of green from pale apple to dark emerald. The whole world seems steeped in it. We round a turn and pass a roadside farm stand, then a winery. Then we're descending a hill into Port Madison, a historical waterfront neighborhood full of parks and walking trails. A few more turns and we're on a long dirt driveway lined on either side by tall trees. The driveway ends on a flat parcel of shaggy grass directly overlooking the calm, crystal waters of Hidden Cove. Aiden parks under a giant cedar and cuts the engine. I hop off first, pulling the helmet from my head and looking around in awe. Wow, this view is incredible. He swings his leg over the bike and pulls on the chin strap of his helmet. When he's got it off, he sets it on the seat of the bike and smiles at me.
Lots of space for a bunny to play in, huh?
My cheeks heating, I twist my lips and look at him. He laughs at the expression on my face.
Come on, the house is up here.
I thought we were on the main parcel, but he's pointing toward an incline beyond a break in the trees. He holds out his hand. I take it and follow behind him up the gentle slope on a path that looks well-worn. When we reach the top, I stop short and gasp. The frame of a house sits in the middle of a semicircle of giant western white pines that stand at least 100 feet tall. Facing the water, the house has two stories, a foundation, a roof, and not much else. There are no interior walls or windows yet. No landscaping or driveway either. It's more of a sketch, the outline of an idea, but the idea is taking shape beautifully.
There's going to be a wraparound porch in the front,
says Aiden softly, gazing proudly at the bare bones of his home.
And a path over there that leads down to the dock.
He looks at me, eyes shining.
I'm going to get a boat. Nothing big. Little flat-bottom lake boat I can putt around in for cocktail hour.
I'm so impressed I hardly know what to say. How long have you been working on this?
A couple years now.
Wide-eyed, I look around. And you're doing this all yourself? He chuckles.
I wish. Plumbing and electrical go in next, and that's when things start to get expensive.
He looks back at the house, draws a deep breath, and smiles.
A lot of it I can do in trade, which is good, because I don't have the cash to finance this project. The cost of lumber alone nearly had me going broke.
I move nearer to him. Still gazing at the house, he winds his arm around my shoulder and pulls me close. At the risk of being punished, I need to tell you that I'm definitely going to pay you now for the work you're doing on my roof. His laugh is soft. He tilts his head back and closes his eyes, enjoying the sun on his face.
You're lucky I'm in a good mood, Bunny, or your butt would be burning.
I wind my arm around his waist and rest my cheek on his chest. Promises, promises. He kisses the top of my head. Then we stand there in comfortable silence, our arms around each other, listening to the breeze playing through the trees. The sound of faraway children's laughter drifts to us over the water. Aiden asks softly,
"You ever want kids?"
My pulse goes wild. My hands start to tremble. I close my eyes, bury my face in his chest, and whisper, "Yes." There's a slight change in his energy. A new tension creeps into his arms.
Was that the wrong thing to say?
I shake my head. No, it's just, I tried once. We tried. He rests his cheek against the top of my head and tightens his arms around me.
You don't have to tell me.
It's okay. It's not a secret or anything. I blow out a breath. I had a miscarriage. I was pretty far along. A memory hits me like a punch to the gut. Pain, screaming, blood coursing down my bare thighs, crawling over the office floor and sobbing, trying desperately to get to the telephone on the wall. It's a jumble of impressions that come all at once, like a clip from a movie played too fast with the sound turned all the way up. But whose voice is that? The screaming doesn't sound like mine. It's a stranger's voice, full of rage, bearing down on me like a hurricane. The memory disappears as quickly as it came, cut off as if a plug was pulled on a projector. It leaves behind the distinct, chilling impression that big chunks are missing, that something important has been left out, or erased altogether. I search for anything more, but nothing comes. I hit a brick wall.
You're shaking,
says Aiden, sounding worried as he hugs me tighter.
What is it, Kayla? What's wrong?
Nothing. Just hold me, please. He envelops me in his arms, holding me tight. I cling to him, swallowing down the acid taste of bile. After a few minutes, when I've calmed down a bit, Aiden says softly,
I don't mind if you're not ready to talk about certain things. You could just say that, and I'll accept it. I won't push. But don't lie to me again, okay?
I whisper, I'm sorry. His voice turns firm.
Say you won't lie to me again, Kayla.
I won't. I promise. Nuzzling my cheek, he murmurs,
Good. Because you don't have to. You never have to hide from me.
My voice cracks when I say, I don't understand. You're so amazing. He kisses my neck, my ear, my cheek. Soft butterfly kisses filled with tenderness.
I'm only amazing when I'm with you. The rest of the time, I'm nobody.
I burrow closer to him, needing his solidity, loving how safe I feel in his warm embrace. He makes a sound of pleasure low in his throat and inhales into my hair. Then he's kissing my neck again, only this time, his mouth is more demanding.
I love the way you taste, Bunny,
he says gruffly.
Love the way your skin tastes. Love your smell, too. And how you lose control when I make you come. And how you look at me. The way you look at me makes me feel like a goddamn king.
He sinks a hand into my hair and pulls my head back, exposing my throat. Holding me firmly against his body, he licks and kisses a path from my earlobe to my collarbone, pressing his teeth into my skin every few inches, as if he wants to take a bite of me and gobble me up. When I exhale a small moan, he squeezes my ass and flexes his pelvis against mine, pressing his erection against my hip bone. My response is instant. My nipples harden. My heart pounds. My skin heats and my pussy tingles. I've never met a man I had a physical reaction to like this, so effortlessly and instantly, not even my husband. With my eyes closed and my face turned to the sky as he kisses my throat, I say, Such a hungry lion. I hope you can run on an empty stomach. Smiling, I push him away and gaze at him coyly, fluttering my lashes. Then I turn and bolt toward the pine trees. Laughing, he calls out behind me.
You have 10 seconds before I come for you, little rabbit.
Then he starts counting aloud. A thrill in my blood. I tear across the grass and past the house, pumping my arms and legs as fast as they'll take me. Once I hit the stand of pines, I hide behind a massive trunk and risk a quick peek around it. Aiden advances toward me in an easy lope, grinning darkly. I scream and start running again. Beyond the stand of tall pines is a small meadow surrounded by a thickly wooded area. Realizing the property must be several acres in size, I run toward the woods with my heart in my throat, not daring to look behind me. Breathing hard, my thighs burning, I break through the tree line at a flat-out sprint. Underfoot, the ground is soft and uneven, covered in a moist blanket of grass and leaves. Before I've got 20 feet in, I catch my toe on a half-buried tree root and go flying. I land on my stomach. My breath is knocked from my lungs. I lie stunned and panting for a moment, then try to scramble to my feet. I'm too late. My lion has already pounced. Growling, he grabs me around the waist. We tumble to the damp earth. I put up a fight, struggling to get free as he laughs breathlessly and wrestles me. Then I'm on my back and he's on top of me, biting my neck as he pins my wrists to the ground. He laughs in exultation as I squirm beneath him.
Bad bunny.
Let me go.
You have leaves in your hair, bunny. Where else might you have leaves, I wonder?
He flips me onto my stomach and yanks his leather jacket off me, throwing it aside.
Not here. Maybe under your shirt.
as I struggle and holler in protest. He strips my shirt from my body and sends it flying. Then he's growling into my skin as he rubs his beard on my shoulders.
My naughty little rabbit needs to get fucked in the woods, doesn't she?
No. Yes. Get off me! He slides a hand under my torso and roughly squeezes my breast. Into my ear, he says hotly.
I'm gonna fuck you so hard, bunny. You're gonna take your master's cock on your hands and knees, totally naked, in the middle of the woods.
I nearly faint with desire and give in right then. But as this game is all about the chase, it wouldn't be much fun if I let him win so easily. I won't. Struggling wildly, I somehow manage to knock him off. I'm up and running in a heartbeat, my hair flying out behind me, my bared breast bouncing. Cool air mists my heated skin. He catches me as I'm skidding around the gnarled trunk of a pin oak. Yanking me into his arms, he kisses me ravenously. Off balance, I stagger, my heart racing as I try to push him away. He's so strong, though. He's just so damn strong. He yanks down the zipper of my jeans, turns me around, and pulls them down my hips. I try to get away, but he has such a tight hold on me, I'm helpless. When he slaps my bare ass, I yelp, jumping. Then he pushes me against the trunk of the tree and holds me there with one hand gripped around the back of my neck as he continues to spank me. Whimpering, I claw at the trunk. Rough bark scrapes my breasts and stomach. My ass jiggles with every strike of his hand, flooding my pussy with shockwaves of pleasure. The spanking stops abruptly when Aiden thrusts his hand between my legs. His mouth pressed to my ear, he says,
"Ooh, soaking wet. You need me to fuck this pretty wet cunt nice and hard, don't you, bunny?"
I sob.
"Yes, you do. I know you do. And you know how much I want to."
He shoves two fingers inside me and finger fucks me from behind as I squeal and struggle.
"Oh, God, baby, you are fucking perfection. My dick is so hard for you. I need to come deep inside this perfect pussy while you scream my name."
He pulls his fingers out of me and slides them all around, spreading my wetness. He tweaks my engorged clit, making me yelp, then spins me around and pushes me back against the tree trunk. He thrusts his slick fingers into my mouth.
"Taste yourself, bunny. Lick all that sweet honey off."
He bends down to suck on my rigid nipple as I obey his command, my eyes rolling back in my head. He pulls my jeans roughly down my thighs. Without taking them all the way off, he throws me over his shoulder and starts walking, his arm wound around my waist, one hand spread over the back of my thigh, his fingers digging possessively into my flesh. I kick and struggle, but my jeans restrict the movement of my legs. He's hobbled me. When I shout in frustration, Aiden laughs and slaps me on the ass.
"Here,"
he says, stopping.
"This looks like a good place for my bunny to take her master's dick."
He drops me on my feet onto a soft patch of earth, then pushes me down until I'm on my back. Straddling my hips, he grabs my forearms. I swing wildly at him, struggling for release.
"No, bunny,"
he breathes, eyes wild with need.
"Stop fighting me now. Time to get fucked."
Ah! I refuse to stop. Obviously enjoying himself, Aiden allows me to wrestle him for a few moments before he yanks off my shoes and pulls my jeans from my ankles. When I'm completely naked, he flips me onto my stomach and drags me up to my knees. The ripe, damp smell of the earth fills my nostrils. A cool breeze washes over me, forming goosebumps all over my bare skin. Far overhead, birds sing and leaves whisper in the boughs of the trees. Seeing me nude and helpless with bits of forest floor clinging to my breasts, belly, back, and bottom excites Aiden so much he's panting.
"Look at you all covered in dirt, my sweet, filthy girl,"